Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be. Listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
When you turn on the evening news, do you see what you want to see or what you need to see? Welcome to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. It seems like more often than not, the good news and people that are making it are buried into a 2-minute feature piece near the end of the report. What about giving these people and this kind of news a full hour every week? Now, here's your host, Mariana Cacciatore.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us. We've got a great show today. In a few minutes, I'll be interviewing a dear friend of mine, Sarah Grace. Our topic today is A Life Well Lived, A Perspective at 75 Years Old. I consider Sarah to be a wise elder, a woman who can look back on her life and say it was a life well lived. You'll get to meet her in a few minutes, and I'll share more about her life in my introduction. But for now, we begin the show with our World of Good segment. And I've got two short stories to share this week. The first one came from a website called dailygood.org. It's a story about a husband and wife who call themselves Giver Girl and Giver Boy. They came up with a simple but powerful idea, donating $52 to a different charity every week for a year. After each experience, they post their thoughts and feelings online, invite others to join in, and maintain total anonymity. The brilliance of their project is captured in a week when they spontaneously decide to make that week's gift a $52 tip to a waitress serving them. And after leaving the tip, they decided to run away without watching their waitress's expression. And the author of this post on dailygood.org said, "That's it, right there, that's generosity. Giving in a sacrificial way with the intent of blessing others while seeking nothing in return. Not even recognition, gratitude, or praise. And this lesson is the biggest gift that Giver Boy and Giver Girl have sent out." So if you Google Giver Girl or Giver Boy, you can read about all their adventures in generosity and decide for yourself which one excites you the most. And my second story today is from helpothers.org. I was at the grocery store today and noticed that its reusable grocery bags were on sale. I always hate to see people using plastic bags for many reasons, mainly because we live near the ocean. I often see plastic bags being blown around, and many end up being eaten by whales, dolphins, and other animals, and I think the bags are food. I bought 4 of the reusable bags and asked the cashier to give them to the next 4 people who didn't have a reusable bag. The cashier thought it was a great idea and added a few more bags herself. This was from Seattle Girl. And I think I'm going to start doing that when I go to the grocery store. I may not be able to do 4 bags each time, but to buy 1 bag, because they're right there at the counter. It's kind of a fun idea, and just have the checkout person save it for the next person in line that doesn't have a bag. Just imagine if everybody did that just once, how many paper bags we can get rid of. Sorry. Well, let's begin with talking about my dear friend, Sarah Grace. The tag for Bread for the Journey Radio is ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds. Sarah Grace is the kind of person we had in mind when we chose that title. She exemplifies the phrase, a life well lived. She's not a person of great wealth. She hasn't traveled the world. Her life well lived happened by being true to herself throughout her life, by nurturing her generous spirit, and by being of service to people in need. She's worked with the disability community for over 30 years, was very active during the AIDS epidemic. She's a licensed art therapist and a certified EMDR practitioner, and has offered lots of support to many people healing from traumatic life experiences. As I said, she is a wise elder, a true friend to those she loves, and a playful grandmother to a lively international clan that has grown from her 6 children. She lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico, with her sweet, wonderful papillon service dog, Chico. Welcome, Sarah. Thanks for coming on the show.
Good morning, Mariana, and thank you for inviting me.
Glad to have you here. Sarah, last week when I opened the show, I chose the following story about you for my World of Good feature. The story was about how you, a liberal progressive, met with the Republican governor of New Mexico, Susana Martinez, to talk about the upcoming Medicaid Modernization in New Mexico Act and other things. And she stated that she had a special interest in serving people with disabilities. So Sarah later wrote, you wrote to me in an email, there is only hope for this country if we learn to reach across the aisle, if we learn to hear the heart of each other, even when the song from my heart may come out with different lyrics than those from the heart of Governor Susana Martinez. And you came away from that meeting feeling very hopeful and, reaching across the aisle. So we had a listener who wrote in and said she was anxious to hear about that conversation. She wanted details about how you reached across the aisle. She was sort of mistrusting of the governor and said in her email, anybody can say they're for people with disabilities. Who would say they're not? Can you tell us a little bit about that meeting, Sarah, and also how you felt through the meeting?
I can. It was really wonderful. I had a colleague went with me, and we met over a coffee table with Governor Martinez and the head of one of the departments, Secretary of Health and Human Services, and over tea. And it was easy. It was pleasant. I had written to her and asked, as part of the work that I do for New Vistas and the co-chair of our legislative team, whether I could come talk with her about our concerns about Medicaid. New Mexico is in the throes of redesigning Medicaid, and advocates like myself and people with disabilities have a lot of concerns about it. So she said, yes, you can have 15, or her secretary set it up 15 minutes. Well, you know, it was so congenial, we ended up staying 25 minutes, and it was such a wonderful opening of the heart between us. We are very politically different. We have very different political agendas, but that opening in the heart, I think it was around disability. She has a family member with a disability, and we talked about that at length. And I came away, well, I don't know, really feeling warmth for her. We took some pictures. In the pictures, she's got her arm around me. We're leaning toward each other with my little dog in the middle. It's a wonderful picture, and it was a wonderful opening of the heart. You know, I don't know where that will go, but it's part of the work I'm doing in the world and trying to reach across the aisle, and part of the work that the team that I'm part of does.
And
I wanted to comment on her comment about anybody can say anything. I've been working with legislators for a long time. I think around a decade we've been doing this work at New Vistas, and I really so sincerely believe that in all that experience and meeting and talking with legislators, you know, we all carry our own bag of thing along with us, and there are a lot of people in legislature, like in the world, that have families with disability members, you know, members with disability, and they just don't talk about it. You know, I believe that's in the heart of a lot of us, whether we're a legislator or not.
Right. So did you feel like it was a meeting where she took time to really hear what you had to say and you did the same
Absolutely.
For her?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There was, You know, there were minutes between when each of us talked. Nobody interrupted each other. I really felt like she listened, and I know my colleague and I both really listened to her with respect. We've been doing a lot of work on our team in trying to find ways to reach across the aisle. There's so much contention in politics. There's a lot of contention in New Mexico right now around this Medicaid modernization. And, you know, I think it's really critical just to have a respectful way right. to hear another person's point of view,
right.
not being
right.
argumentative.
Right,
you know?
Right, right. Yeah, I agree. It feels to me that that listening is really part of what we get when we nurture a generous nature. I think listening to somebody is one of the most generous things that we can do. And it develops when we grow that inside us, the ability to just breathe deeply and listen, not interrupting. It develops inside us a kind of generosity of spirit. And I think she probably came away from that meeting having, you know, felt heard by you, and let's hope it goes somewhere. Thanks so much for sharing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Can I add one more thing to it?
Sure.
She did ask us.
Sure.
She asked us during that meeting, what did we think? Why did we think there was so much contention, and what could be done about it? I promised her I would take it back to my team, and I did. And we've just sent a letter off to her and Secretary of Human Services about some of the suggestions that our team came up with. In ways to, you know, continue that kind of respectful listening.
Well, that's an important thing, too. You know, sometimes people ask questions like that, and then it just sort of drops there. The fact that you really heard her, you took that question, you brought it back, that's another thing that we can do to work across the aisle, to keep the communication open, to pay attention to what they're saying, respond to what they're saying in a mindful, thoughtful way. And let's hope that that leads to perhaps another meeting and a return dialogue. That would be lovely.
It would be wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Well, keep us posted. You can always write to us, and I'll keep people who are listening to the show apprised of your progress.
Okay, I'll do that.
Sarah, you recently turned 75 years old, and in a conversation with me about a month ago, you told me about a party you had in which you invited your friends to make a donation in lieu of gifts mm-hmm. to one of three charities you identified as your favorites. And I will say our chapter in Santa Fe, our Bread for the Journey chapter in Santa Fe, was one of the recipients of that act of generosity. Thank you. And it was such a generous and kind thing to do. You were surprised at how much money was raised. Can you talk a little bit about that and why you chose to do that? Yeah,
I can. Actually, it was five charities. But I invited, I think, around 20 people, 22, and friends, people that have been friends for a long time here, and people that have been in my life but don't necessarily know each other. I wanted the people that I love here to know each other, too. So I just asked people, instead of an invitation, instead of a gift, please make a donation to one of these five charities or the one of their own. I paid for the party, and I just wanted people to come have fun, and they did have fun. They had a wonderful time, and we raised $1,000 and plus $100 that one of my granddaughters raised by mentioning a friend of hers who was ill with leukemia. And I just made a little... She said to me one day when I picked them up after school that she wished I had included this friend in one of the charities. And I said, well, you know, why? Who is she? And she told me, and I said, well, you know, it was Dulcie, my granddaughter Dulcie. I said, you know, you could ask at the party. She put out a basket. She made this wonderful little speech about Emily, and people reached in their pockets, and there was $100. And it's just a little P.S. under that. That child is now free of leukemia. And lymphoma, it was Hodgkin's lymphoma. And my granddaughter, sure, it's because of the money that she raised at the party. So she's gotten hooked on generosity.
Well, that left a mark in her. That's a beautiful story that she'll take with her for the rest of her life.
Yeah, and so will I.
Yeah, right. Well, it's time for us to take a short break. You, as listeners, have any questions for our guest, please email us at bfjradio@gmail.com. When we come back, we'll continue speaking with Sarah Grace. Please stay with us.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Tune in to Patricia Raskin Positive Living on VoiceAmerica.com every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time. This program brings you practical and inspiring principles for living a more authentic, engaging, and passionate life. Patricia's guests will give you a formula for connecting, giving, forgiving, and miraculous living. So tune in and call in to Patricia Raskin Positive Living Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Voice America Variety Channel. It's practical, positive solutions for a happy, empowered, and successful life.
There are a number of health and social services available to individuals for low cost or no cost. Now there's a radio program devoted to bringing you the information you need. Tune in to Outreach Today with host Melissa Jenkins-Simon. Our program promotes the benefits and services of CI Incorporated, providing health and social services over a wide spectrum of resources and agencies. We want to help you. Tune in to Outreach Today, Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Step into the doorway to conscious choice, greater health, and well-being. Attain the balance that you've been seeking. Tune in and turn on 1111 Talk Radio. Feed the mind. Embrace positively. Release the tension. Step out of fear. Host Simran Singh will help you broaden your mind and open your heart toward a greater understanding of how to take charge of your life. 1111 Talk Radio is here every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Seventh Wave Network. 1111 Talk Radio, because shift happens.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
We are back and we're talking to Sarah Grace. Our topic today is A Life Well Lived, A Perspective at 75 Years Old. And Sarah, we were talking at the end of the last segment about this party that you had for your 75th birthday. And I remember hearing that friends stood up and spoke about the years that they'd known you. And your son stood up and said something that you'd never heard before. I'd love for you to share that story.
Okay. Well, my son Andrew lives in Santa Fe, so he was there with his family, and he told the group that had gathered that in the neighborhood where we lived when we were young, that was in Ohio, that the kids in our neighborhood referred to us as the Freedom Family. You know, I'd never heard that before, and it was wonderful, and I think it was about our kids, they sort of self-monitor their own behavior. They had a rock band in the garage. Sometimes they wore hippie clothes. And for a couple of years, we took in some juvenile delinquents and fostered them so they wouldn't have to go to the big house in Columbus, Ohio. But our kids, you know, they weren't wild. They weren't undisciplined. But they did have the freedom to explore the world, even when they were young.
Mm-hmm. And when you had to discipline them, did you have to?
Well, yeah, you have to help them learn the rules of the world. But we didn't believe in corporal punishment, Alan, my husband, and I. So what we would do would be whoever had done whatever needed to be attended to, they were grounded until they could write a paper for us on what was wrong with what they had done and how they would do it different in the future. And I kept those for a long time, and they've gotten lost. I wish I still had all of them. But the one that I really loved the very best was, and it's timely because it was a Halloween, my son Jay and my daughter Sandy, who were probably 8 and 10, something like that, they stole a pumpkin off a neighbor's porch, a jack-o'-lantern, and told me that someone had given it to them, and my neighbor next day said, yeah, somebody took a pumpkin off the porch. Oh, Jay and Sandy. So they were grounded, and the paper they wrote was just, it was precious. It was, it's really wrong to steal a pumpkin off of someone's porch. That's not nice to steal. And also, if you do steal a pumpkin, make sure you don't leave a paper drawing of one in place of it and hope they don't notice. So. They noticed.
That's funny.
But they learned, they learned a lot about themselves and the world and morality in that way.
Yeah, it sounds like that. It sounds like that. I've heard stories about your relationships now with your kids and your grandkids, and it seems like a nice, healthy clan.
Mm-hmm. It is a wonderful clan.
Beautiful achievement in your life, Sarah. Sarah, if you could relive a moment in your life, what would it be?
There's really one that stands out. There's a lot. I have a lot of wonderful moments. But when Katrina came, the agency that I work for, New Vistas, is really wonderful, and I really wanted to go and do some relief work in Louisiana, and they gave me a week off of administrative leave with pay. Well, actually, it was longer than a week. And so I went down. I worked with the Salvation Army. And I didn't work as a professional. I didn't do therapy. I sat checking people into one of the Salvation Army centers, and, you know, all the people that had been in, it was like in a war zone, came in dazed. We would give them food, we'd give them clothing, you know, we'd feed them a meal, and then we'd find them a place to stay. So we did that for a whole week. And at the end of the week, though, we were assigned to work at the distribution center. Salvation Army had been given an old Sam's Club warehouse. It was loaded to the floor to ceiling with all kinds of wonderful toys and food and clothes, anything you can imagine. And we were assigned to work there. All of us that had been working at various Salvation Army centers were there. And the doors were closed. They opened at 9:30, and all these people were outside looking so shell-shocked. And at 9:30, the major of the Salvation Army opened the doors, and everyone came in, and we were there, everyone that had been helping and all the Salvation Army people. And the access to the store was just sort of barricaded. You could come in the store, but you couldn't get to the merchandise, just so that everybody got to go into the merchandise at the same time. And everybody came in, huge crowd, and he said, before we let you go into the store and the merchandise, we would just like all of us to sing. And he sang, he led us in Amazing Grace. And, you know, we were all holding on to each other's arms and our hands on each other's heads, and everyone was touching in that room, and I think everyone was crying. And I honestly, that was generosity to me. You could watch the people's faces change. I watched them change, and I know this in my own particular bent, but I swear you could feel angels coming all around us. And when we, you know, took down the little things that had barricaded the store, people didn't go rushing in. They went in slowly. They were smiling. They were talking to each other. And it shifted the whole energy of what had happened for a minute. You know, it doesn't always happen on that kind of scale, but I think that's what happens with generosity, even in the small acts that we do.
Yeah. And we wouldn't normally frame that as generosity, but I totally see. And the way I also see the way that music has a, you know, there's a lot of emotion all around, but music, you know, bringing everybody together with voice, and particularly that song, I can just see how it brought everybody on sort of equal ground with a lot of, I guess, compassion sort of risen up into the heart.
Yeah.
For all that had happened. Yeah, beautiful story.
It was a wonderful experience.
Sarah, you were married in the late 1950s, is that right?
Right.
And 20 years later, after having had 6 children, you wanted to go back to school, and you told me that, you know, the 50s were still working on us. You had to ask your husband for permission. Can you tell a little bit about that story and that time of your life?
I was such a model citizen wife for a while. I managed to break out of that. but I was. And I did. I'd never gone to college. I got married right out of, almost out of high school. And I did want to go to college. And my husband, Alan, asked the sort of head of our family, who was a very big deal doctor, head of the Department of Neurology at a very major, major clinic, what he thought. My brother-in-law said, oh, it's a good idea. A woman should have something to fall back on if her husband dies. And so I got permission to go back to school, but it was the death knell of our marriage. It was that movement. I went into a world that I had never even imagined was there. And that was the beginning of the end of our marriage and the start of a very different life for me.
Mm-hmm. And so was it not, what were you studying and what opened?
Started in a community college studying mental health. Mm-hmm. And got an associate degree, and then went to Antioch and got a degree in psychology with a minor in art.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
what it opened for me.
Mm-hmm. And you after all these many years, you have been able to maintain a healthy relationship with your ex-husband. That's a crowning achievement.
What's the crowning achievement of that?
Having just maintained a healthy relationship, a lovely relationship with your ex-husband. When we have conversations, you talk about him and sweetly.
I do. I think of him sweetly. He's a dear friend of mine, and we're in touch often. We talk on birthdays. We just attended my daughter's 50th birthday together. And, you know, my image of us, as I remember it back, is, you know, us watching our family with our arm around each other. And we've maintained a very respectful, loving friendship with each other.
Right. It's a beautiful thing. It doesn't always happen. There were lots of six kids and moving different parts and sharing kids and different houses and lots of life changes and lots of decisions that need to be made over the many years. And
yeah.
So, yeah, I just congratulate you.
We, in Ohio, you can dissolve your marriage. You don't have to go through it's a no-fault divorce. And we wrote into the dissolution agreement that we would always respect each other's choice of lifestyles and partners, and we've done that.
Yeah, yeah. Good for you. One of the things, Sarah, that we speak about at Bread for the Journey is the generosity of spirit we find in so many of the people that we interact with. And I think about all the work you've done to serve others, people with disabilities, those who have been severely traumatized, people with AIDS during the epidemic in the 80s. I know you currently and for the longest part of your career have been working with people living with disabilities, and you deal with some disabilities yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you had the power to change life for people living with disabilities, what would you do? If you could do a sort of little magic wand, what would change? What would you do?
Well, you know, there are already mechanisms in America for that change to happen. The Affordable Health Care Act that goes into effect in a couple of years has various pieces of it that will help make life easier for people with disabilities. You know, extensions of Medicaid covering more people and people not being denied coverage because they get sick, can't be dropped, and there are a lot of things in that plan that actually would make a difference. I would probably wave a magic wand and want everybody to be informed of different pieces of the American with Disabilities Act so they'd be aware of what some of the expectations are around people with disabilities. I wish people knew the hard, radical road that's been taken in this country to get these kinds of assurances for people with disabilities. I think I'd increase people's knowledge. And there actually is something right now people can do. That the super committee that's been appointed at the federal level to look at the deficit budget is threatening to make cuts to Medicare and Medicaid. And, you know, I would ask people if they're really interested in waving their own magic wand to get online and Google super committee. There's 9 members of the House and Senate on that committee, and write to them and ask them please not to make those cuts to Medicare and Medicaid, because they are disastrous cuts. And to the people that, and I have friends that believe that there's already too many benefits to people, to just look into their own heart and see if maybe there's a little room for them to take a second look at how they feel about the kinds of things that already are given to people with disabilities.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this. It's time for us to take a short break. If you've got any questions for Sarah, please email us at bfjradio@gmail.com. Please stay with us.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Who or what fills you up? How do you talk to yourself about yourself? Do you feel like your life isn't where you want it to be, that you are underappreciated, or that your relationships leave you wanting? Tune in every week as Dr. Debbie gives you something to think about, a reality check that will allow you to take charge of what goes on in your life. Your life is happening now. Don't waste another minute. Tune in Mondays at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel and listen to It's About You with Dr. Debbie. Explore the power and beauty in yourself and in others. Tune in to The Stacey Stern Show, Enriching You. Every week, Stacey Stern will connect you with men and women who are living and working from a place of passion. Stacey's guests include successful authors, filmmakers, actors, experts, and leaders. You'll hear what inspires each of them, and you'll be turned on to great films, books, and new media. Tune in to The Stacey Stern Show, Enriching You, Tuesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now. 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Good morning. We're back and we're talking to Sarah Grace. And our topic today is A Life Well Lived, a Perspective at 75 years old. When we ended the last segment, we were talking about how Sarah had the power to change anything, how she would change things for people living with disabilities. And she made a few suggestions that people could do. And so I want to just state here that when I get offline at the end of the show today, I am going to Google Super Committee, and I'm going to send a letter to each of the people on that Super Committee and give them, you know, my thoughts after this segment with you about hanging on to Medicare and Medicaid as it is, and in fact, perhaps even improving upon it. And then secondly, I commit right here to looking up the Americans with Disabilities Act, reading it through, and just keeping my eyes open to things that I can do to help make those who live with disabilities' lives a little better.
That would be so wonderful, Mariana. Thank you.
Yeah, and I invite anybody who's listening to join me. And if you learn anything, feel free to write to us at bfjradio@gmail.com, and we'll pass it on the air. So, Sarah, you actually now are living with disabilities. Can you share a little bit about your life with our listeners and perhaps how you stay hopeful?
Sure. Well, you know, I think we all come into this world with a different beginning, and some of mine was pretty difficult. And I don't know if I came in with this or if it just developed over the years of... But I have this little tiny creature living inside me. I call her Pollyanna, and I don't know how many people are as old as I am and remember the Pollyanna stories. And she was always managing to find the little sunbeam of light that was in the shadows and the clouds. And that's been part of me. I think that's been developed through the years of just being aware of what was going on, trying to deal with the things around myself. So that's part of how I've grown. And the other is, I don't know, a lifelong curiosity of just sort of walking through a door when I see it even cracked open. And I think those have served me well as I've aged and come into my own disability, and also some of the experiences that I've had working in the field of disabilities and people with trauma, a lot of work with people with AIDS. And one of the things I remember that I bring forward into my own life now with disability and with the work I do is I did a training in the early days of the AIDS epidemic that was called Shanti Training out of a house in California, I think in San Francisco, called Shanti House, where people with AIDS were being helped.
Yes.
And in that training, one of the things the trainer said it's just stuck with me all these years since the beginning 80s of keeping an open heart in the face of hell. So, you know, I do that. And that served me in the work that I do with other people. I think it's serving me in my own life. I was diagnosed with lupus way back when I left my marriage, and I don't know how they were related, but I ended my marriage and I got diagnosed with lupus. And that led to chronic fatigue syndrome, and then around 10 years ago, arthritis kicked in related to the lupus. A lot of joint damage, and I'm pretty disabled with it. I have trouble walking without a cane or walker. I have balance disorder. I've got Meniere's disease. My hands get numb, and I'm pretty much in pain constantly without some medication. And I also have diabetes, and around 7 years ago, I started having little strokes in the middle of the night that left me temporarily blinded in one eye. That was pretty scary, and that put me on Coumadin, so now I'm on Coumadin. So, you know, sometimes it's hard to stay hopeful when you have that kind of disability, and it really informs your world. It informs everything you do and everywhere you travel and how much energy you've got to expend in the world. I think it helps that I work in the field of disability and, you know, with people with trauma, because I always see these wonderful examples all around me, not only of great courage, but of joy just in being alive and in little small things. And I also work for this wonderful organization that serves people with disabilities and babies, kids at risk, and so it helps to have those role models always in my life. The things that I do to help, I have their own personal things. I do centering prayer. I make sure I have quiet time for recovery and rest, and I'm a member of a very dear-hearted little church. I have incredible friends and family that make me laugh and love and support me. And I live small. I live in senior housing. It's subsidized housing. It suits me perfectly. It makes my life really simple so I can concentrate on the things I need to pay attention to. And then there's Chico, this wonderful companion that shares my life, my little dog Chico. And those things are what sustain me. And, you know, I love working in a field where you see hope all the time. You not only see pain and, you know, sometimes a challenge to get through a day, but you always see these, it's the Pollyanna in me. She always watches the sunbeam come through.
Well, I think about myself, and I think probably many people, you know, we get a little headache and we're, you know, cranky. And I hear you talk about the many disabilities that you're living with today. And I have to say, you know, every time I have a conversation with you, I am struck by, you know, the remarkable way in which you walk through life I always feel uplifted. I always come away with an incredible story of something. And all of that leads to me, you know, calling you a wise elder and knowing that that's who you are in the world. And also, you know, this Pollyanna thing, I want to say, you know, it doesn't, you hear the word Pollyanna and you think, you know, that somebody who really can't get to a place of depth, and in your case, it's absolutely just the opposite. Even when I speak with you about hard things, there's a sense that you can take it in and hold it and be with it, that you don't walk away from the things that are difficult in order to maintain an uplifting spirit yourself. You really have a sense of taking it all in, Sarah, the good and the bad, and calling it life.
Thank you. It's interesting to hear other people's perspective. It's just the way I walk through life, and I see so many other people that are so worse off than I am. I mean, really, physically and mentally and spiritually, and it's relative. You know,
yeah.
It's a relative thing.
Yeah.
But it's a blessing to have that in my life, to have the people that are doing way better than me, and you know, however you define that, and people that are struggling more than I am, and watching how they deal with life with a sense of grace and courage too. Not always, you know. I'll put Pollyanna aside for a minute, and you know, sometimes it's really difficult, but always that other piece comes through for me and in the lives of a lot of people that I work with and that I see.
Right. Beautiful. You've got a granddaughter today who is an accomplished writer, and she credits you with being her inspiration. I know few things can be more satisfying. Can you tell us a little bit about why she credits you with being her inspiration?
Well, that would be Rita. And there are 15 or 16 others that are probably getting furious right now that are listening of other grandchildren and great-grandchildren too. But Rita, the story about Rita, it's really duplicated with the other children in different ways. But Rita and her family moved here. That's my son Andrew, his wife Mary, and they moved here 19 years ago when Rita was a little tiny baby. And so we grew up together, knowing each other and loving each other. And I used to take her to the mountains. We'd go to the mountains every single week. And when she was around 6 or 7, we started writing poetry together. And we would write anything we wanted first. And then we'd each suggest a topic and take turns suggesting a topic, write a poem about it, read it to each other. We had a wonderful time. We had fun. We did it consistently. When we got older, we did it in coffee shops. We had a reading for our families and friends one time and did a little book of poetry for them. And she has taken that, I mean, she shot like a star with that. And she is a very accomplished writer. She was one of 10 people winning the National Scholastic Gold Medal Scholarship. And she had her award ceremony at Carnegie Hall 2 years ago, where she was presented with a scholarship and really given the kind of recognition that these young writers and artists deserve. And she's just a joy in my life, as are all of my grandkids. They're all really wonderful. But that's what Rita, she started writing when she was young with me. And, it's interesting. One of the wonderful, incredible things about growing old is you get to see patterns in life. You get to look back. You get to see how things end. You get to see where they started, and then you watch them come to fruition. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And this thing with Rita is sort of a thing come to fruition and to fulfillment, because I was a writer when I was her age. I wrote reams of poetry, but I didn't get the kind of encouragement. She has an incredible, supportive, wonderful family. I didn't get that kind of support, and that has pulled her to the place where she was. And I mean, just watching everything that can happen in an atmosphere where you have a family that really loves you and supports you and wonders at your talents, which is what I think all of my 6 kids do with their families, is really such a gift. And then to be able to live long enough to watch that, that's amazing. I wish that long life to all of your listeners that they can look back and see the road that they've traveled and the fruits that they've planted along the way. It's amazing.
No, it's so beautiful. I've got tears in my eyes.
Aww.
It's time for us to take a short break. If you've got any questions for Sweet Sarah, please email us at bfjradio@gmail.com. And when we come back, we'll continue speaking with Sarah.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You were born a visionary. How do you get closer to your personal vision? Tune in to Visionary Radio with Giselle. Our program is all about evidence-based positive change. Giselle and her guests will bring you stories of positive visions achieved, hope and renewal, designed to inspire you in ways that matter in your life, in ways that last and bring you closer to who and where you want to be. This program is for and about real people, and we want you to be a part of it too. Tune in to Visionary Radio with Giselle every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. Drawing on resources from wellness communities throughout America and abroad, the show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Wellness Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in your brain inspired really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome back, and I'm glad you're here, Sarah. Many of us who are listening to the show are younger than you, and I guess I have a question. What would you say to us who want to take something away from the interview that we can use to strengthen our own lives? What bits of advice would you, as a wise elder, share with us?
Feels funny to be asked that, but I'll do the best I can. I think back to the Shanti training and the kinds of things I learned in that, and a lot of that's come forward with me as I've aged. Some of it, that thing about keeping an open heart in the face of hell, to have the courage to walk into places where people are hurting or you're hurting yourself with your heart open, and to live a life, I think, that's long, you need some things to anchor. One of the things you need is to anchor. You need to anchor yourself. I guess I would advise people to find a way to anchor themselves in the moment, just at the end of a long day or when things are really rough, to just find a way to bring yourself back to center, whether it's looking at a rose or petting your dog or making a phone call to a friend or prayer, whatever you do, just to be able to bring yourself back to a place that lives inside of all of us, where we can find some kind of centering, to anchor yourself in that kind of simplicity. I think the joy in life for me has come about when I see a door open, a little crack, even if it's really dark in there, to walk through. You just don't ever know what wonders are going to be in front of you when you walk through a door. So to walk through a door that opens in front of you, not be afraid to take chances, not be afraid to move forward, and to trust that you're going to be caught I mean, I've experienced my whole life being caught, being held with something, however you define that, whatever you define that as, and being in touch with that kind of thing. I think it's important, really important, to take care of your body, because you might live a lot longer than you think you will. So when you're young and you have something going wrong, take care of it so that it doesn't haunt you as you age. A friend of mine that came over to take care of Chico while I was giving this interview was on the phone with Mariana and I when we were talking a little bit, and we had a break, and I said, "What, you know, what's yours?" And she said, "Mine is don't take myself so seriously." And that made me laugh, and I think that's really good advice too. Don't take yourself so seriously and laugh a lot. And but mostly, you know, just see what's in front of you and move into it and do it with whatever grace and whatever support you need to move through it in a way that brings wisdom and fun and learning to yourself.
Hmm. Sarah, we had a question that came in from a guest who was curious about what the connection was between you going to college and the ending of your marriage. Why did one lead to the other? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, and I know we don't have much time. It led to that because I started moving into my own path instead of being tied into the business and our family. In the way that I had been, I felt like I could have a career along with still being involved in the business, and that was very, very threatening. You can understand how it would be to a husband that was in a traditional marriage to the all-American wife, and he was so threatened by that he was unable to move with me on it, and it led to so much dissension that that's what ended my marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think I want to add in here at the very end of it that I think I've been a searcher all my life, and it just went to sleep in me somewhere and woke up later. But that's what it was. It was my wish to just touch something different, and he couldn't deal with it.
Once again, great kudos to you, given even that added piece of information, that you were able to maintain a relationship through the raising of 6 children together, 2 different parts of the country, and all that needed to be done, the decision making, and the I'm just impressed, very impressed.
Thank you.
Yes. So I'd like to begin to close and talk a little bit about what we're going to be doing next week. And I want to first just say thank you, Sarah. This has been an incredible hour with you. As we said in the break, I wish we had more time. There's so many other things we could have gone into. But thank you for taking the time, for working with me to create this show, and for sharing, for giving me an opportunity to share you and your brilliance with everybody who is on our show.
You're welcome, Mariana. Thank you.
You're welcome. So I'd like you to join us next Saturday when we'll be interviewing Carolyn Mosley. Carolyn has lived through every parent's nightmare, the violent death of her youngest daughter, Trella, who was stabbed in the hall of her high school by her ex-boyfriend. Trella was only 15 years old, and the last words out of her mouth before she died were words of forgiveness for her murderer. Her mother, Carolyn, is changing the landscape of teen dating violence in America forever. She was inspired by her child's offering of forgiveness, and this has been the thing driving her. She's advocated for the passage of Texas's first Teen Dating Violence Act, which requires every high school to provide dating violence prevention education. She developed a curriculum promoting healthy relationships, which has been approved for use in all Texas Youth Commission's halfway homes for juvenile offenders. And through her efforts, February has now been designated as Teen Dating Violence Prevention Month. All of this and a lot more has been accomplished while working nights as a security officer and returning to school to earn a dual degree in juvenile justice and criminal psychology. You know, they say grief makes a hole in your heart, and that you have a choice on what you're going to do with that space. And Carolyn is one of those people who has clearly made her choice, and it will benefit untold millions. So please join us. I promise you won't be sorry. And finally, if you'd like to support the work of Bread for the Journey, we hope you'll go to our website at breadforthejourney.org. If everyone pitches in a little bit, we can change the world. We could use your support. Thank you so much. May all beings be happy. May all beings be safe. May all beings be free. See you next week.
We hope our program inspired you this week. Please join Mariana Cacciatore for another edition of Bread for the Journey next Saturday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.